There's an increased interest in the field of psychology about the impact that compassion can have on our mental and physical well-being. Compassion and compassion training are part of the growing field of mindfulness, which includes practices like meditation. Recently, researchers looked at the role compassion training played for parents and children. The results found that parents who received compassion training had children who had lower levels of some stress hormones. Our next guest joins us to talk about that study and the long-term impact that compassion can have on stress levels in kids and the rest of us. Julie Pailman-Tynan is the Dorothy A. O'Brien Professor of Human Ecology at the UW-Madison. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Before we dig into the specific research, this concept of compassion training, we can be trained in compassion, where you might think, I'm either compassionate or I'm not. Talk about what this training involves.
Right. Well, a lot of times we think that people are just born with empathy and compassion, but we're not born with all the language we need. We're not born with all the motor skills we need. And we learn those things. People teach us, and we see those things increase over time. The same thing is true with empathy and compassion, that if you don't teach it to children, it kind of increases and then plateaus. But if you engage in training of compassion and empathy, you can see that continue to increase throughout the lifespan.
Do we tend to have at least some level of compassion kind of, built in, hardwired into us even before that training? Do when we look at, infants and toddlers, do they have some of that compassion?
Oh, absolutely. They start off in life with having some ability to feel what others feel, read faces, experience other people's emotions, and their tendency is to engage in some pro-social behavior. But as I said, if that's just kind of left, it plateaus.
We'll dig into a little more about how this compassion training might work, but let's get into the research that you worked on here. What did you do?
So we took a program called Cognitively Based Compassion Training, and for the first time, we looked at how that affected parents of infants and young children. It had been used with other people before. It was developed for college students to help decrease their stress, but it's also been used in people with breast cancer and other medical populations, and even adapted for children in foster care. But it was the first time anyone's tried it with parents of infants and young children, and then also looked at not only the stress of the people taking the training, but also their children, who really didn't get any direct intervention at all.
You had a control group, I understand, of parents who didn't get this compassion training and parents who did. Let's look at some of the results now. What kind of things did you find out?
Yeah, well, we looked at a number of different things because stress is one of those things. You can feel it in your body. So we looked at physiological stress. That is, we measured cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And then we also looked at parents' reports of their stress. So how they feel stress in their body, how they perceive that, but also parenting stress, because it's kind of a natural thing for parents to feel stressed out. I know you're a parent, I'm a parent. Mm-hmm.
There's some stress that comes with the territory.
Absolutely. But chronic stress can be really problematic, especially when it's high, and that can affect children. So we measured a number of different things in the study, including the parents' stress, but also the children's physiological stress. And we did that by taking samples of hair. It's very non-intrusive for little kids, and it gives us like a cumulative look at how stressed they are over a period of months.
And so you found out the kids of the parents who got this compassion training, what kind of things did we learn about them?
Yeah, we found out that the kids had a decrease in stress when their parents were in the compassion training. So that means that by the time the parents were finished with this program, their children actually showed less cortisol in their body that was accumulated over time. Now, the parents did not show less cortisol. It's actually kind of hard to move parents' cortisol because they're adults, where as very young children, it's kind of easier to move that. But we did see a decrease in parenting stress that the parents reported if it started at a really high or what we call a clinical level. And then we saw a decrease over time.
But for the kids, their cortisol levels went down after their parents got this training, if I have that right.
Yes, absolutely.
And hammering home what a big deal this is. We hear more and more about research, and we've talked to UW's Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria about the impacts, the physical, the mental health impacts of long-term elevated levels of stress hormones like cortisol. There's a lot at stake here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we were so excited about this finding, that by doing an intervention with parents focusing on compassion, that we actually saw some movement in a children's cortisol. Now, everybody experiences some stress. Obviously, you know, babies and young children experience stress when they're hungry or if they fall down or if they're separated briefly from a caregiver. But we're talking here about the impacts of toxic stress or long-term intense kinds of stress when a child, for example, lives in poverty or they experience really negative interactions with their caregivers. Now, when stress continues, when cortisol stays raised in a child's body, it can have effects on not only the bodily functions like susceptibility to disease, but it can also affect the structure and function of their brain. And it can really reset their self-regulation system that can have very long-term implications.
Talking to Julie Palman-Tynan, professor of human ecology at UW-Madison, looking at the impact of compassion training for parents, how it can help their kids avoid levels of toxic stress that could affect them for a very long time. Julie, let's talk about what this compassion training looks like, because I think a lot of people might be interested in checking this out, parents or not. How does one train in compassion?
Right, right. Well, there are a number of different ways, but as I mentioned before, we used a specific program called Cognitively Based Compassion Training, and it was developed at Emory University, and it involves like 8 different modules. It's usually about 20 hours of training, and it takes people from initially focusing on mindfulness to cultivate attentional stability so they can really start to focus on some things. Then it goes into focusing on self-compassion. And it's kind of interesting because sometimes people find it difficult to distinguish between self-compassion and like selfishness, or, you know, people think parenting always involves self-sacrifice, but being really compassionate to oneself, treating oneself like a friend, is really important. Then the program moves on to talk about extending that the feelings of compassion from the self to then people they care about, and then also to people they don't even know. And it focuses both on feelings related to compassion, what we call aspirational compassion, meaning we want to help people who are suffering. We want to decrease that, but also then moves into enacted compassion. How do we actually do that in our lives? And parents often can start with their own kids and show them compassion, but then also model compassion to anybody in their lives.
Were you able to observe in your research how that parent who went through the compassion training parented differently, acted differently to and around their kids?
Well, we heard from the parents in the groups what they felt they were doing differently. So they often talked about that if they were in a really stressful situation, like they were late for something, they had to get the child ready for childcare, the child was crying, everything was kind of a mess, how they could focus and calm themselves and act in a compassionate way to the child instead of acting frustrated or critical. In our work, we did observe parents interacting with children in the lab setting, but we didn't get a chance to observe them in their naturalistic settings. We heard from them that they were maybe doing things differently.
Are you looking to expand this now and figure out how to make it an operational level thing? I mean, it's a very expensive to treat the consequences and painful to treat the consequences of long-term stress, toxic stress, and trauma. This comparatively sounds like a very cheap intervention to prevent that happening in the first place. How can you expand from this research to something more people can use?
Yeah, we are working on that now. I mean, one of the goals of doing this, we started off doing it with sort of a low-risk sample, and one of the goals is to expand it to many children who experience lots of risks, including their parents. And so we do agree that it's a way better approach to try to prevent these things before they become really severe. And so we're working on that now. I mean, research is one of those things that can take a really long time. But we are working on expanding access to compassion training for people who even experience lots of different risks and stressors.
We're talking to Julie Pailman-Tynan, professor of human ecology at UW-Madison. She's with us to talk about her recent study looking at the role compassion training can have for parents and their kids. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about this idea of compassion training if you're a parent and have tried to be more compassionate with your kids? Have you seen an impact? Have you done some kind of compassion training yourself? Or there's a thing called compassion meditation, I think, maybe you've done. I'd love to hear about your experiences with that. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about compassion, parents, and childhood stress with Julie Pailman-Tynan, professor of human ecology at UW-Madison. She recently conducted a study that looks at the impact that compassion training can have on parents and their kids. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about compassion and compassion training? What role do you think that can have on our well-being? If you're a parent, do you have questions about how this worked in this study, how it might apply maybe to you? Have you done some kind of compassion training yourself, taken it or administered it? Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Haley is with us in Oakdale. Haley, hi.
Hi. I had a question just really defining compassion and looking at it through a parent's view. I think we can often like define it in many different ways. So I'm just curious if like there's a way that the guest could maybe talk about how parents are like better able to display that compassion to their children and what that kind of looks like just in everyday life. Because I think sometimes we just picture compassion as, you know, generally speaking, being nice to someone, but maybe going into more detail about that.
Haley, thanks. Yeah, what we can think of as a vague concept in day-to-day terms.
Right. And I think it's an excellent point to say that compassion can come in so many endless forms. And some examples of how parents can be compassionate to their children in everyday life is that when you see a child crying or exhibiting some kind of distress or fear, to really try to think of that as communication and think of, well, what is my child trying to express to me? And taking a breath and pausing to think about that instead of just reacting. Because as parents, we often find ourselves in stressful situations and we sometimes just want our kids to cooperate and be quiet and be happy. But sometimes it really does take that extra pause, kind of take a breath, think about what is my child trying to communicate to me and how can I help reduce their suffering in order to meet their needs.
Haley, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Donna with us in Brookfield. Donna, hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm a special ed teacher, and this training sounds very interesting. I'm wondering if there's any plans to offer it to special education teachers. I think I'm a pretty compassionate person, but there's probably always something more to learn.
Donna, thanks. Yeah, teachers, do you think they could benefit from this?
Absolutely. I think really anyone who works with children or people in general can benefit from it. And the Center for Healthy Minds at the University of Wisconsin-Madison has a program called the Kindness Curriculum that they use working with schools. And even though it's not compassion training per se, it uses some of the principles of mindfulness to help kids and to help teachers deal with the stressful situations that can arise in the classroom. And in a previous study I did, we used the kindness curriculum with low-income preschoolers, and we found it really helped the kids' self-regulation and it helped the teachers as well.
Thanks so much for that call, Donna, at 800-642-1234. As we talk about compassion and compassion training with Julie Pailman-Tynan from UW-Madison, I want to get into the nuts and bolts of how this works now, this compassion training, a little more. And I used the phrase compassion meditation earlier, and I think you mentioned the Center for Healthy Minds, Richard Davidson from that center, actually demonstrated compassion meditation on the show here a few years back. Talk us through how that works.
Yeah. So cognitively based compassion training is based on a Tibetan Buddhism concept called Lojong, which means mind training. But it's a secular version or non-religious version of that. And so what people do is in the training, the instructors take people through guided meditations to really focus on becoming aware of their feelings and their attitudes, and then being able to sort of dive in and think of, like, if they can extend compassion to themselves, how can they also extend those same feelings to people around them? And the homework for the training involves guided meditations at home, doing them even daily, and then practicing with their children and other people in their lives, how they can respond and show that empathy and compassion to people around them. So it really is a meditation-based training.
And it sounds like it is practicing for that stressful situation, the crying kid example. I think a lot of us have had, in whatever kind of situation, we have that instant reaction, which is not always the best one. It's maybe a negative reaction, just being able to train our brains to pause and take a deeper look.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we're presented with a child who's frustrated or angry or crying or distressed or afraid, it actually triggers the parent to have a stress reaction. And so when the parent is able to kind of calm down and focus on regulating their own stress, they're more likely to be able to be compassionate. And it's sort of like a muscle. You know, you can't just sit around all the time and then go out and lift weights or run a marathon. You have to practice and work up to it. So what compassion training does is it helps people practice those skills when they're calm, so that they are developing that like a muscle, so that when, okay, game's on, they can really, you know, do the skills effectively.
Let's bring on another caller now. Anne is with us in Oconomowoc. Anne, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on something that happened to me in my personal life and raising my children. I have three sons. And my youngest son would often react, you know, sort of in anger or sort of, you know, aggressively, you know, temper tantrum kind of reaction. And my knee-jerk reaction always as a parent was kind of, you know, more the discipline, like, why are you doing, like how the guest had said, where he's just like, you just want them to cooperate and not cry. And I had this epiphany one day when he was just sort of having this, you know, temper. And I just, it's like this light bulb went on. And I said to him, he was probably only like 3 or 4 at the time. And I said, are you scared? And he just broke down crying, and that was it. He was scared of the situation, but he didn't know really how to handle it. And so his way of handling it was, you know, in anger or to have a temper fit. And it just completely changed the way I parented him.
Wow. And thank you so much for sharing that story. I appreciate it, Julie.
Absolutely. And that kind of insight or those aha moments that we have are something that the parents in the compassion training often talked about, is that they just had this realization that if they could empathize with what the child was going through and then respond in that really compassionate way, like, are you afraid? That can make all the difference. And so I think that your own experience is really similar to a lot of the parents who are in this training. They realize that how they responded can make such a difference.
Well, Anne, well done on that epiphany. Thanks again for calling in. But it sounds like maybe we can train ourselves to be ready to have that kind of epiphany that Anne had.
Absolutely. I think we can take steps to do that. And whether, you know, people are interested in taking a class where it really focuses on it, or they do guided meditations and, you know, do their own sort of program, there's all sorts of ways that it can be done. Nowadays, there's so much mindfulness and meditation options and compassion training out there that I think it's easier than ever for people to get those kinds of experiences and really intentionally plan to be a more compassionate human being, which is very cool that we can do that.
And that's amazing. You made the analogy to exercise earlier. And I think everybody would accept the idea that we can improve our physical health and well-being with exercise and better food. It doesn't seem to be such a common notion that we can do the same thing with our personalities. I tend to think of myself as locked in on the personality I got.
Right, but that's not true. We can really train our emotions and how we interact with other people. We can practice those kinds of things, and we can train ourselves to do better. And when parents can do that and help themselves to respond more compassionately, they're also training their children, which is pretty remarkable.
If somebody's listening and thinking, I want to try the home version of this, are there resources out there? Can people go online and find the exercises they can try for compassion training?
Well, the particular program we used in some of them involved taking a class, but there are compassion meditations and loving kindness meditations that are available free online that people can train themselves. And the Center for Healthy Minds is just launching a program that focuses on developing mindfulness and some compassion, and that will be available to the public.
And are you looking forward to more research into the impacts of compassion and training therein?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, we're hoping to extend it to families where there are risk conditions. So, for example, I study kids with incarcerated parents, and some people are doing compassion meditation and mindfulness in jails and prisons across the country. And one of the things that hasn't been looked at yet is if that does affect the kids. And I think that would be really important to look at.
Julie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you again.
Julie Palman-Tynan is the Dorothy A. O'Brien Professor of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. She joins today to talk about new research looking at the impact that compassion training can have on parents and their children.